Today is the 15th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome to a brand new, shiny, sparkly week. And here we are in the center of the month. The center of the sixth month. So a couple weeks from now, crazy as it is, we will be like at the halfway point of our journey. How did that happen so fast? Slow this train down, I guess. In some ways, life just, man, I can't believe it just feels like we just got going. Like we're just a month or maybe 6 weeks into this journey, but we're 6 months, going on 6 months. Nevertheless, I think I always get to this point in the year and feel the same way. And then another year goes by and... Well, grateful. Gratitude. Grateful to be here with you as we greet a brand new week. And as we do, we consider it before it happens. It is in front of us. The choices that we make are going to tell the story of it and the truth of it. And it is our story to tell. And so may we be true in everything that we do and everything that we think and everything that we say and everything that we choose and in all of the actions that correspond to all of those things. And certainly inviting the scriptures and inviting the Holy Spirit into that process is essential. And so let's take the next step forward. We are in the book of 1 Kings right now, and we have a divided kingdom. These people that we have been traveling with so long have seen fit to separate themselves from each other. And we have the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. We have King Jeroboam in the north and King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, in the south. And we're going to start tracking with two kingdoms. 1 Kings chapter 14 verse 1 through 15, verse 24 today. At that time, Abijah, son of Jeroboam, got sick. Jeroboam told his wife, "Go to Shiloh, but disguise yourself so that people will not recognize you as my wife. The prophet Ahijah, who told me I would be king of these people, is there. Take 10 loaves of bread, some raisins, and a jar of honey with you, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." Jeroboam's wife did this. She left, went to Shiloh, and came to the home of Ahijah. Ahijah couldn't see. His eyesight had failed because he was old. However, the Lord had told Ahijah, "Jeroboam's wife is coming to ask you about her son who is sick. When she comes, she will pretend to be someone else." He also told Ahijah what to say to her. Ahijah heard her footsteps when she came into the room. He said, "Come in. You're Jeroboam's wife. Why are you pretending to be someone else? I've been told to give you some terrible news. Tell Jeroboam, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I picked you out of the people and made you a leader over my people Israel. I tore the kingdom away from David's heirs and gave it to you. But you have not been like my servant David. He obeyed my commands and faithfully followed me by doing only what I considered right. You have done more evil things than everyone before you. You made other gods, metal idols for yourself. You made me furious and turned your back to me. That is why I will bring disaster on Jeroboam's house. I will destroy every male in his house, whether slave or freeman in Israel. I will burn down Jeroboam's house. It will burn like manure until it is gone. If anyone from Jeroboam's house dies in the city, dogs will eat him. If anyone dies in the country, birds will eat him. The Lord has said this. Get up and go home. The moment you set foot in the city, the child will die. All Israel will mourn for him and bury him. He is the only one of Jeroboam's family who will be properly buried. He was the only one in Jeroboam's house in whom the Lord God of Israel found anything good. The Lord will appoint a king over Israel. That king will destroy Jeroboam's house. This will happen today. It will happen right now. The Lord will strike Israel like cattails would shake in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave their ancestors. He will scatter them beyond the Euphrates River because they dedicated poles to the goddess Asherah and made the Lord furious. So the Lord will desert Israel because of Jeroboam's sins, the sins which he led Israel to commit. Jeroboam's wife got up, laughed, and went to Tirzah. When she walked across the threshold of her home, the boy died. All Israel buried him and mourned for him as the Lord had said through his servant, the prophet Ahijah. Everything else concerning Jeroboam, his wars and his reign, is written in the official records of the kings of Israel. Jeroboam ruled for 22 years. Then he lay down in death with his ancestors. His son Nadab succeeded him as king. Rehoboam, son of Solomon, ruled in Judah. He was 41 years old when he began to rule. He ruled for 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord chose from all the tribes of Israel, the city where the Lord put his name. Rehoboam's mother was an Ammonite woman named Naamah. The people of Judah did what the Lord considered evil. Their sins made him more angry than anything their ancestors had done. They built worship sites for themselves and put up large stones and Asherah poles to worship on every high hill and under every large tree. There were even male prostitutes in the temples of idols throughout the land. The people of Judah did all the disgusting practices done by the nations that the Lord had forced out of the Israelites' way. In the fifth year of Rehoboam's reign, King Shishak of Egypt attacked Jerusalem. He took the treasures from the Lord's temple and the royal palace. He took them all. He took all the gold shields Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and put them by the entrance to the royal palace, where the captains of the guards were stationed. Whenever the king went into the Lord's temple, guards carried the shields and then returned them to the guard room. Isn't everything else concerning Rehoboam, everything he did, written in the official records of the kings of Judah? There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam as long as they lived. Rehoboam lay down in death with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David. His mother was an Ammonite woman named Naamah. His son Abijam succeeded him as king. In the 18th year of the reign of Jeroboam, Nebat's son, Abijam began to rule in Judah. He ruled for 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maaka, daughter of Abisholam. He followed the sinful example his father had set and wasn't committed to the Lord his God as his ancestor David had been. But for David's sake, the Lord his God made Abijam a lamp in Jerusalem. He appointed David's descendant to rule after him and protected Jerusalem. The Lord did this because David did what the Lord considered right. David never failed to do anything the Lord commanded him to do his entire life, except in the matter concerning Uriah the Hittite. There was war between Abijam and Rehoboam throughout their lives. Isn't everything else about Abijam, everything he did, written in the official records of the kings of Judah? There was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. Abijam lay down in death with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. His son Asa succeeded him as king. In Jeroboam's 20th year as king of Israel, Asa began to rule as king of Judah. He ruled 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother was named Maaka, daughter of Abisholam. Asa did what the Lord considered right, as his ancestor David had done. He forced the male temple prostitutes out of the land and got rid of the idols his father had made. He also removed his grandmother, Maaka, from the position of queen mother because she made a statue of the repulsive goddess Asherah. Asa cut the statue down and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although the illegal worship sites were not torn down, Asa remained committed to the Lord his entire life. He brought into the Lord's temple the silver, the gold, and the utensils he and his father had set apart as holy. There was war between Asa and King Baasha of Israel as long as they lived. King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah to keep anyone from going to or coming from King Asa of Judah. And Asa took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the royal palace and turned them over to his officials. King Asa sent them to Damascus, to Aram's King Ben-Hadad, son of Tabrimmon, and grandson of Hezion. He said, "There's a treaty between you and me, as there was between your father and my father. I'm sending you a present of silver and gold. Now break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel, so that he will leave me alone." Ben-Hadad did what King Asa requested. He sent his generals and their armies to attack the cities of Israel. He conquered Ajon, Dan, Abel-Bet-Maaka, and the entire area around Kinneroth, with the entire territory of Naphtali. When Baasha heard the news, he stopped fortifying Ramah and lived in Tirzah. Then King Asa drafted everyone in Judah and excused no one. He made them carry the stones and lumber from Ramah. Baasha had been using those to fortify the city. King Asa used the materials to fortify Geba in Benjamin and Mizpah. Isn't everything else about Asa? All his heroic acts? Everything he did, and the cities he fortified, written in the official records of the kings of Judah? And when he was old, he had a foot disease. Asa lay down in death with his ancestors. He was buried with his ancestors in the city of his ancestor David. His son, Jehoshaphat, succeeded him as king. Acts 10, 1 through 23. A man named Cornelius lived in the city of Caesarea. He was a Roman army officer in the Italian regiment. he and everyone in his home were devout and respected God. Cornelius gave many gifts to poor Jewish people and always prayed to God. One day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He clearly saw an angel from God come to him and say, "Cornelius." He stared at the angel and was terrified. Cornelius asked the angel, "What do you want, sir?" The angel answered him, "God is aware of your prayers and your gifts to the poor, and he has remembered you. Send messengers now to the city of Joppa and summon a man whose name is Simon Peter. He is a guest of Simon, a leather worker, whose house is by the sea." After saying this, the angel left. Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of those who served him regularly. Cornelius explained everything to them and sent them to Joppa. Around noon the next day, while Cornelius's men were on their way and coming close to Joppa, Peter went on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted to eat. While the food was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large linen sheet being lowered by its 4 corners to the ground. In the sheet were all kinds of 4-footed animals, reptiles, and birds. A voice told him, "Get up, Peter. Kill these animals and eat them." Peter answered, "I can't do that, Lord. I've never eaten anything that is impure or unclean." A voice spoke to him a second time, "Don't say that the things which God has made clean are impure." This happened 3 times. Then the sheet was quickly taken into the sky. While Peter was puzzled by the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house and went to the gates. They asked if Simon Peter was staying there. Peter was still thinking about the vision when the Spirit said to him, "3 men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go with these men. I have sent them." So Peter went to the men. He said, "I'm the man you're looking for. Why are you here?" The men replied, "Cornelius, a Roman army officer, sent us. He's a man who has God's approval and who respects God. Also, the Jewish people respect him. A holy angel told him to summon you to his home to hear what you have to say." Peter asked the men to come into the house and had them stay overnight. The next day, Peter left with them. Some disciples from Joppa went along. Psalm 133, a song by David for going up to worship. See how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in harmony. It is like fine scented oil on the head, running down the beard, down Aaron's beard, running over the collar of his robes. It is like dew on Mount Hermon, dew which comes down on Zion's mountains. That is where the Lord promised the blessing of eternal life. Proverbs 17, 7 and 8. Refined speech is not fitting for a godless fool. How much less does lying fit a noble person? A bribe seems like a jewel to the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Father, we thank you for this brand new week, right here in the center of the month. We thank you for a fresh start every week. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. But as we mark the time, since we're day by day, step by step, together in community, we mark the beginning of a week and we thank you for it. And with gratitude, we look forward to it. Even the challenges that we must face emotionally and actually in the choices that we make, we invite your Holy Spirit, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, to lead us into all truth and continue to use our time that we devote each day to being in the scriptures, to the exploration of our own hearts and motives as you do the work of transformation, as our eyes become open and clear, as we see what the scriptures are saying as they work within us. And so thank you. We are grateful, deeply, deeply grateful for the gift of the scriptures, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and for your love and compassion and kindness toward us, your patience with us as we come awake and turn from our wicked ways, confessing them, releasing them, asking for mercy and receiving. Lead us into all truth, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
My dear Deb family, praise the Lord. You don't know my voice, but I know your voice. For the past 5 years, I was in prison. Every single day, you were with me. During my walk through that dark time, Brian and all my Deb family prayed, read. We were together. Thank you so much. Without you, I don't know if I would have made it through. I've been out since May 5th of 25, so just over a month. Life is grand. Life is good. We have an awesome God. He has taken care of me. He has provided. He kept me safe. Thank you, Deb family, for being there. I don't know what I would do without you. I have now can say that I've gone through the Bible entirely 4 times. Thank you, Brian. I've also completed a 1-year journal every day after Deb. And after our reading, I would write in my journal. Tomorrow will be June 13th. And it states in my journal that I started 1 year ago. Deb family, you mean the world to me. Brian Harding, thank you. 20 years of your service for us. And we have an awesome God. Praise God. Thank you, Deb family, for being there with me every day.
This is Forgiven Child of God, and this message is for From Junk to Treasure. I'm listening to the community prayers, and you made the comment about God jerking a knot in the tail of whomever. And I chuckled out loud because that is a phrase that my Texas mama has used since I was little, and I'm 49. So I don't know where you're from. You probably said at some point, but I just had to say, I love it. Thank you for your faithful prayers, praying for everyone along as I'm listening, lifting you up and giving God the glory. Love y'all.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower, and let's pray for the Fernandez family. Lord God, you see their problems with probable ALS and eczema and actually emotional distress. And we pray, Lord God, that your hope would be in them, your peace would be in them, that they would understand that you are in control of all things. Lord God, the potential diagnosis of ALS is horrible, as we know from Christy and Tim going through the same thing. But you are our strength. You are our physician. You are our healer. You are our wisdom. You are our sanity as we go through these horrible diseases with our loved ones. And we pray a healing touch on all who are suffering from terminal illnesses, Lord God. And I especially lift up the Fernandez family and Tim and Christy York as well, as they are struggling so desperately. And I pray a healing touch from you, but especially your peace that surpasses all understanding for the whole family. And Lord God, the ability to give glory to your name through all circumstances. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi everyone, it's Karen in St. Louis. I hope you're all doing well, and I have been praying for all of the prayer requests that I hear. I'm asking for prayer for my dear friend Sue, who has fought cancer 5 different times. She was going to be starting a new job next week, but she will have to go and have a biopsy done on Monday because she has been having health issues the last week and a half. Period. Please pray for her and Dan as she goes for this biopsy. My fervent prayer is for them to truly know the Lord and to trust in Him. You have friends, you have family that they say they believe, but they don't read the Bible. They don't go to church. They don't really walk the walk of faith. Let's just put it that way. I know only the Lord knows hearts, but I love these two people, and I pray that her biopsy is clear, but only the Lord knows, and I pray for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you so much, Jabbers. Thank you, Brian and Jill and the family and all the people that help out with Daily Audio Bible. You are loved.